Welcome to Friend of Maryland. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Today on Friend of Maryland, I talk about some exciting things happening in the fatosphere. I chat with Joanne Rondilia about her work on understandings of fatness in the Filipino culture. And I spotlight a piece by Shannon Recker about why she's not going to join Lady Gaga's body revolution. There are lots of exciting things happening in the fatosphere at the moment. First up, the Fat Poet Society are looking for illustrations for their next book. Check them out on Google if you want to contribute. The Popular Cultural Association Conference currently has their call out for papers. Submissions are due in by November 30th, and anyone involved in fat studies should check it out because they always have a really awesome fat study stream. Lastly, but certainly not least, make sure to check out Kath Reed, the Fat Heffalumps, new online feminist magazine called Unreal Women. If you want to contribute, send her an email at unrealwomenmag@gmail.com. She's purposely trying to create a space for those who are often marginalized and left out of other spaces. And personally, I love the idea that it's Unreal Women, because most women's magazines that trot out the same tired, fat-phobic, cis-privileged bullshit always, of course, tote themselves as all about being real women. Joining me today is Joanne Rondilia, a lecturer at Arizona State University. Joanne, thank you so much for coming on Friend of Maryland.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm super jealous because you recently attended the National Women's Studies Association conference. Oh, wish I could have been there. And they actually had quite a lot of fat studies work being presented this year, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Some major panels, and then there were some individual papers. So, yeah, there was quite a bit this year.
And you were one of those presenters, correct?
Yes.
So what was the group that you were belonging to? What were you guys talking about?
So we tried to address our panel was called Theorizing the Net, Women and Gender, basically on the Internet. How do women interact on the Internet?
Oh, okay. And what was your specific paper about?
My paper addressed Filipino women and our relationship to fat. So, very simple.
How did you get interested in that area?
Well, first of all, I'm Filipino, and I'm by no means a size 2. I never have been. And so, one is sort of navigating my life as someone who is not a typical petite Asian, and then also just sort of exploring these different types of questions about, you know, the body and what it means, especially in the context of the Filipino culture.
Mm. So tell me more about, tell me more about the work that you did.
Okay, so it started in, the first time I sort of tackled this paper was in 2006 when I did a similar paper. And then what I did was I went to the Internet and I did a search, Filipinas and Fat, because I wanted to see what was out there. So when I did that, what came up in the search engine was there's one study on Filipinos and diabetes out of UC San Diego. And then everything else was a bunch of fetish sites, and it's either fetish sites or mail order writing sites. And
right.
As I was looking, I realized, especially in the mail order writing, which happened a lot, was that the relationship between Filipino women and fat had nothing to do with the Filipino woman herself. What it was it was about how Filipino women treat their men so well that they make their men fat, and that's what makes them such good wives. you know. So I thought that this was interesting because what I gathered at the time was there a Filipino woman's relationship to fat is that it's a sign of her subservience because she is not allowed to be fat. What it is she works hard and serves other people, namely her mate, to make him fat and happy, and that's her job. So that I thought, you know, like these sort of brought up interesting questions to me about Filipino women and their bodies and what they're allowed to do. So
what was it that you continued on to do in your own work then?
Could you repeat that again?
Oh, I was just curious. So what happened after that? What was next?
So, you know, after that particular paper, I needed to finish my dissertation, so I sort of shelved the project.
You had other things to do, sure.
Yeah. And then so now when I picked it up again, I pretty much did the same search, looking at some fats, and I pretty much got the same things, except what was different is that I saw two websites written by two blogs, basically, written by Filipino women, and they basically talk about either their weight loss journeys or their struggles in being either Filipino or Asian American, but not being petite. And then the big website that I ran into was a website called The Plump Eye, which is a body acceptance website that's out of the Philippines. Hmm. And that one was started in 2009, and I thought, okay, this is interesting now to see the sort of body acceptance website in the Philippines, because the other two websites from the U.S. are more about like how to lose weight or you know, how to grapple with the pressure of being fat. But then the website from the Philippines is about, you know, forget about being fat, forget about weight loss. Like, you need to love who you are now. And to see that happening in the Philippines and seeing that website have a readership around the world, including the United States, I thought that was an interesting thing to look at. So that's what I will be looking at in the future.
Well, and it really is such important work because I think that there's often kind of a sense, and of course it's a criticism. I remember in Charlotte Cooper's piece about mapping the discipline, you know, she talked about, you know, should we call it fat studies or should we call it American fat studies? Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's kind of the a lot of people kind of make the assumption that, you know, this kind of work, whether it's the fat study scholarship or like the fat activism and fat acceptance, is specifically being done by like white women, for white women, about white women. And of course we can't, it's important to remember that, you know, there are women all over the world in all different cultures who are interested in these ideas and working in these areas.
Yes, definitely. I can understand why someone would consider calling it American fat studies, but you know, we are living in a global world right now, and I think that it's important to understand how fat is understood around the world, because the Philippines to me, and also this particular website is interesting to me, because the two women that run it, you know, for the Philippines, they are larger. You know, they're not like your typical like size zero or size two, you know, but they're also wealthy. So when you look at fat in the Philippines, it has a class connotation that's very different, I think,
right,
in the United States. And also, what I also find interesting about their website is that a lot of their notions of fact activism is informed also by what's going on in the United States. So it's an interesting exchange to look at. But you also, like for me, I also have to be aware of the context in which it's coming from, which is in the Philippines. So
right,
where fat means something very different. So
how, and this is just my own ignorance, and you might not be able to answer this, but I would be curious to know how much Western kind of values and influence have had on that culture's conceptualization of what fat is and whether it's good or whether it's bad.
Okay, well, depending on where you are in the Philippines, the women that run the Plump and I, I think, are located in Manila, and Manila is a major metropole. So when you go to Manila, you'd actually, you know, for people that have never been there or don't really know much about the Philippines, it's very much westernized, and it's this odd place where East and West converge because, for example, if you're looking on a Friday night and you're looking at movie releases, in any given theater, you're looking at what the Philippines has released, you're looking at what they're releasing in the UK, what they're releasing in the United States, and then maybe Hong Kong and Singapore, something like that. So it's this hot, like East and West that all converge into one. Mm. So when you're looking at that, again, it has a different type of meaning, you know, because you're looking at, say, for example, East Asian value, which says Filipino women should not be fat, right? Then you have the Filipino value of, you know, it's more, it's like eat, 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 because this is how you show love, right? And then you also have, you know, like, for example, in the United States, if you eat at McDonald's, it's, you know, McDonald's is considered sort of poor food. You know, it's where poor people eat, and that's why, you know, health in urban, you know, poor urban communities is so bad. But in the Philippines, Western food is a kind of wealth.
Right.
You know, so if you eat at McDonald's, you know, not that McDonald's is incredibly expensive, but it's a sign of westernization, and it's also a sign of wealth because you can go there. So it's, you know, the Philippines is just this really interesting place where East meets West and all these different values collide. And so for me, the challenge is to kind of unpack all of those meanings.
Well, I'm really glad that you are doing the work that you're doing. I'm excited to see what happens next. And I think it really is an important thing that we have scholars from all over the world who are looking at these kinds of issues through all these different kinds of lenses and with all these different kinds of cultures, because I do think that there is a danger of all of our understandings being from a very specific kind of Anglo-American perspective. And of course, that just weakens then our overall appreciation and understanding of our field. So I am excited to see what you do next.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, we're just about out of time, so I will let you get back to your Sunday evening. But thank you for coming on Friend of Maryland.
Thank you for inviting me. This was really a great honor for me to be here.
So. Well, we'll hope to have you back soon.
Okay, thank you.
In the spotlight today is a piece by Shannon Rucker from the Ellipsis Project. The piece is entitled, I Won't Join Lady Gaga's Body Revolution, and was published on October 9, 2012. Quote, thin women often treat gaining weight or becoming fat as if it's the worst thing that could happen to them. In a society where we are flooded with images of thin and fit bodies, where the war on obesity is being waged from inside of the White House, such attitudes and belief tell fat people that their bodies are worthless, undesirable, unhealthy, and unsightly, that they deserve to be discriminated against. In my opinion, there's a marked difference between people who have always been thin, fat people who lose weight, thin people who gain weight, and people who have always been fat. Even within these limiting and innocuous categories, there can be vast differences in the way people experience their bodies personally and in relation to the world around them. I am by no means here to speak for everyone. I will, however, speak for myself. I have always been what is medically classified as overweight and obese. As far as I'm concerned, there are many reasons why a thin, rich, white, cis-privileged, non-disabled pop star cannot and will not be the figurehead for any body revolution I want to be a part of. Here are eight of those reasons. I flat out do not need another thin, white, rich celebrity speaking for me or in any way seeking to represent me. This goes double for me as a fat person of color. I can and do speak for myself on a daily basis. I don't need Gaga or any other celebrity to do that for me. I have to wonder who gets heard and who doesn't get heard in this. Lady Gaga is not the first person to put on a fat suit and mock fat people's bodies. Her reasons for doing so are unacceptable. She gained weight. Putting on a fat suit wasn't the answer. Imitating a body that isn't hers wasn't the answer. A white thin woman trying to make a statement, or a black male comedian trying to get some laughs and make some money. The two don't seem that far apart to me. Lady Gaga benefits from and is part of the same industry and systems that vilify, stigmatize, and dehumanize fatness and fat people. The last thing I need is another skinny woman complaining about gaining a couple of pounds. It's not my problem if you feel fatter than you actually are and expect sympathy. That's based on the assumption that being fat is inherently pitiable. I'm not here for that. Celebrities are not concerned with fat politics or body politics until it's beneficial to them to be concerned, while fat activists and other body positivity activists have been doing the necessary work and have struggled for the experiences and knowledge to back it all up. It has been said that white people can never understand what black people experience with racism and oppression except from unhappy circumstance. Something similar can be said for Gaga, her weight gain, and the fat suit nonsense. By unhappy circumstance, she experienced a fraction of a sliver of what fat parents experience every day, and she couldn't handle it. Her answer was to passive-aggressively imitate, thereby disrespecting and erasing the experiences of an entire marginalized group. Fat people with eating disorders are often treated completely differently from thin people with eating disorders. Fat people are encouraged to lose weight at all costs, even if it is damaging to their mind, spirits, and bodies. If they gain weight or refuse to lose weight, they are shamed, stigmatized, and unsupported. As a fat person of the working class, I've lived in food deserts and have experienced what it's like to be unable to afford healthy meals all my life. Even if I wanted a personal trainer, weight loss surgery, or some kind of special diet, those things are not readily available or sustainable to someone of my class status. Lady Gaga could more easily try to lose weight anytime she'd like, with support and funds at her disposal. And lastly, my fat body is not a publicity stunt. My body is not a way for a skinny woman to make herself feel better about gaining weight at the first hint of criticism. As Leslie Kinzel wrote, the reality is that fat people are often supported in hating their bodies, in starving themselves, in engaging in unself-exercise, and in seeking out weight loss by any means necessary. A thin person who does these things is considered mentally ill. A fat person who does these things is redeemed by them. This is why our culture has no concept of a fat person who also has an eating disorder. If you're fat, it's not an eating disorder. It's a lifestyle change. It may be important for many people living with or recovering from eating disorders to sympathize, identify with, or idolize Lady Gaga. This is where I think some people are willing to overlook, accept, and even applaud Gaga's stunt with the fat suit. At the same time, many fat people such as myself and allies of fat acceptance cannot and will not accept a thin woman in a fat bodysuit as a positive figure in fat activism, whether she has a history of struggling with eating disorders or not. There might be plenty of space for Gaga in the body positivity movement to thin people with body disorders. Can you see the limitations in that? I can't say she's an ally or claim she's part of any body positivity moment, because when she put on that fat suit, her thin body automatically took up too much space, so to speak. She overstepped her bounds. What Lady Gaga and her supporters probably never saw as an act of expression was alienating, disrespectful, and dehumanizing to many people who actually are fat and are made to suffer and pay the imposed consequences for it every day by a capitalist industry and its agents, which are focused on generating profits and upholding a worldview of white Eurocentric aesthetics. Any thin or average-sized person who accepts or supports this form of oppression can never call themselves an ally of body positivity, let alone fat acceptance. When you say you are my ally, you check your privilege at the door and keep checking it. You do not dress up in a fat suit and parade around in it. End quote. Thanks for listening to another episode of Friend of Maryland. Friend of Maryland is brought to you by Access Manawatu 999 AM. If you'd like to contact the show with questions, comments, concerns, or suggestions for topics or guests, please email us, friendofmaryland@aol.com. You can also find Friend of Maryland on Twitter and Tumblr. Closing the show is the March 4th Marching Band with Wet Nap.